Merry Christmas, everybody, and welcome back to the Essential Films Podcast, a podcast devoted to the discussion of the greatest movies ever made, or the essential films. I'm Adolfo Acosta, and I am without my usual co-host, Mr. Mark Espinoza, today, and that is because what I'm doing today is a new experiment. So as you may have noticed that our big analysis of films, our last one being at Miracle on 34th Street, happened about once a month. I want to have this podcast be a little bit more regular than that. So in between our big analysis, our next one being Superman the movie, which will probably drop in January at some point, I want to do kind of short little podcasts in between that are just me by myself kind of waxing on about different subjects or different films, not in a full analysis form, but in kind of short little easy-to-digest podcasts. I'm going to call these editions of the podcast Short Subjects. That's the kind of most creative name that I could think about it. And now, some of the movies that we talk about on this podcast, we might end up doing longer versions of in the future, but sometimes I just want to kind of get into a little bit of a small discussion in some of these movies that I've watched. So as I record this, it is the December 23rd. This is just a few days after the Miracle on 34th Street episode has dropped, so hopefully you all have listened to it and enjoyed it. And before Christmas Day comes in about 2 days' time, I wanted to take a look at some of the holiday classics, some of the enduring holiday films that people tend to watch throughout the year. Now, we discussed some of these, again, at the end of our Miracle on 34th Street podcast, but I want to go a little bit deeper into today, in today's kind of discussion, in today's short subject. So today's short subjects will be a look at the holiday classics. Now, the first film I'm going to talk about is the 1938 version of A Christmas Carol. Now, we're going to discuss many different adaptations of A Christmas Carol. This has been a very famous story that's been adapted to the screen all the way from 1901 to most recently, I believe, the Disney's version in 2009. But the first one I'm going to talk about, again, is the 1938 version of A Christmas Carol, directed by Edwin L. Martin. Released by MGM in 1938, starring Reginald Owen as Scrooge, Gene Lockhart as Bob Cratchit, Kathleen Lockhart, Terry Kilburn, Mary McKay, a screenplay by Hugo Butler, based on obviously the story by Charles Dickens, and the cinematography by Sidney Wagner.
A Merry Christmas to your uncle, God save you. Humbug.
Christmas humbug? Uncle, I'm sure you don't mean that.
Humbug, I said, and humbug, I mean. Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
What right have you to be dismal? You're rich enough.
Humbug.
Now, Uncle, don't be cross.
What else can I be when I live in such a world of fools? Merry Christmas. What's Christmas time but a time for paying bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older and not an hour richer? If I could work my will, every idiot that goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
Now, Reginald Owen was not the first actor to portray Ebenezer Scrooge on film, but he was the first actor to do it for a major motion picture studio. It goes without saying that this is why most people consider the first adaptation of A Christmas Carol. What's interesting about this is, despite being the first major film version of the story, it perhaps takes the most departures from the original narrative than other celluloid versions. This actually works in its favor. Pretty much everyone knows the story of Dickens' classic by heart, but since this version actually changes a few details, it makes it a little more charming than the other versions. It's easier to get lost in the story you've seen 100 times. The Fred and the Cratchits get more screen time in this version, which helps Scrooge's transformation have more impact. As for Owen, originally this version was to star Lionel Barrymore, who had done the role many times before on radio, but had to drop out due to health issues. Owen proves to be a worthy replacement. Not the best on-screen Scrooge, but certainly the one who falls in love with Christmas the fastest. The next holiday classic I want to take a look at is The Shop Around the Corner, directed by Ernst Lubitsch, released in 1940 by MGM, starring James Stewart, Margaret Sullivan, Frank Morgan, Joseph Schildkraut, and Felix Brassart, and a screenplay by Samson Raphaelson, based on the play by Miklos Laszlo. I hope I got that name right. And cinematography by William H. Daniels.
You know, for the last 6 months, you've done everything you could to antagonize me, and now you have nerve enough.
You haven't been very nice to me either. No matter what I do, it's wrong. If I wrap a package just not the right way, if I make a suggestion, and some of them are very good, you don't even listen. Everything has to be done just exactly your way, and then you don't like it. When I first came into the shop, I was full of life and enthusiasm. And now I'm nothing. You've taken my personality away. You're a dictator, that's what you are. Well, let me tell you, Mr. Kralik, any day now, I may be in a position where I don't have to work anymore. And then, Mr. Kralik, I'll really tell you what I think of you. And as for that blouse, I think it's beautiful, and I'm going to wear it tonight. Mr. Kralik, I don't like you.
Now, I have often said that I hate romantic comedies. I feel they are formulaic, dull, and predictable. Furthermore, just as Playboy gave men an unrealistic expectations of women, romantic comedies are just as guilty of giving women unrealistic expectations of men. The exception to this rule, of course, is any romantic comedy made before 1950. This was a time when they weren't very formulaic, well, maybe a little bit, but the characters were fleshed out and developed, and the stories were tight and well-scripted, and of course, the two leads were incredibly charming. But I digress. The Shop Around the Corner is a romantic comedy, plain and simple. It's Christmas time, and Clara, played by Margaret Sullivan, and Alfred, played by James Stewart, are both employees at the same baggage store, constantly competing for customers, and they can't stand each other. Now, here's the kicker. Each one of them has a pen pal that they have never met, and it just so happens that it turns out that they are each other's pen pal. They write love letters to each other, not knowing that the person they are professing love to is someone they'd like to throw in front of a bus. Now, if this sounds familiar, it's because it was unremarkably remade in 1998 as You've Got Mail, this time with an email angle. Skip that one. Watch this one. Not very Christmassy, other than that it takes place during the holidays, but it's charming, fun, and probably one of the best romantic comedies ever filmed. Next on the list is Meet John Doe, directed by Frank Capra, released in 1941 by Warner Brothers, starring Gary Cooper, Barbara Stanwyck, Edward Arnold, and Walter Brennan, a screenplay by Richard Connell and Robert Presnell Sr., and cinematography by George Barnes.
I know a lot of you are saying to yourselves, he's asking for a miracle to happen. He's expecting people to change all of a sudden. Well, you're wrong. It's no miracle. It's no miracle because I see it happen once every year, and so do you, at Christmas time. There's something swell about the spirit of Christmas, to see what it does to people, all kinds of people. Now, why can't that spirit, that same warm Christmas spirit, last the whole year round?
After being fired from her job as a newspaper columnist, Anne Mitchell, played by Barbara Stanwyck, forges a letter to the editor from the fictional John Doe, a disgruntled and unemployed would-be prophet who threatens to kill himself on Christmas Eve because of his dissatisfaction in the state of the country. Unexpectedly, Doe gains a huge following, and the paper is forced to rehire Mitchell, as well as hire a homeless man, John Willoughby, played by Gary Cooper, to portray him for public appearances. Initially, both Anne and John are in it for the money, but they are soon caught up in the same rhetoric and philosophy that they are selling to the public. The country unites behind John Doe, but D.B. Norton, the sinister newspaper publisher, has other ideas for Doe. Now, Meet John Doe is an often-forgotten gem that should be watched every Christmas season to remind us what the season is all about. Holiday Inn, directed by Mark Sandrich, released in 1942 by Paramount. Starring Bing Crosby, Fred Astaire, Marjorie Reynolds, Virginia Dale, and Walter Abel. Screenplay by Claude Binion. Music and lyrics by Irving Berlin. Cinematography, David Abel.
You know, I've written special music for each holiday. This sort of gives me a chance to keep a little promise I made to myself. I said I was going to sing this song at the inn tonight.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
The movie that gave birth to not just one of the most popular Christmas songs of all time, but one of the most popular songs ever. More on that in a second. Bing Crosby was one of the most popular entertainers in his day, so Paramount Pictures gave him a huge budget to do a musical. Now, what does he spend the money on? Hiring the legendary dance man Fred Astaire as his co-star and Irving Berlin as his songwriter, and they produce one of the most charming musicals ever made. The story follows song and dance entertainers Jim Hardy and Ted Hanover, Crosby and Astaire respectively, as they compete for the affections of the same girl. Jim has reason to be nervous as Ted has stolen one of his girls in the past. Jim quits show business to run a hotel that is only open on holidays and hires Linda Mason, played by Reynolds, as a performer. When Ted realizes that not only is Linda beautiful but an amazing singer and dancer, he schemes to once again steal a girl away from him. Now, Crosby is always praised for his singing, but not enough for his comedic timing. And paired with Fred Astaire, the two have great comedic chemistry. All the songs for each holiday are fun, though you may want to skip the Abraham number because in 1942 doing a song in blackface wasn't considered racially insensitive. But the show stealer is White Christmas, which, as I mentioned before, became one of the biggest songs of all time. Its popularity was mostly due to the requests of soldiers fighting in the war in Europe who desperately wanted to be reminded of home. We have Meet Me in St. Louis, directed by Vicente Minnelli, released in 1944 by MGM. Starring Judy Garland, Margaret O'Brien, Mary Astor. Screenplay by Irving Brechner, Fred F. Finkelhoff, based on the book by Sally Benson. Cinematography by George J. Folsey.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year all our troubles will be out of sight.
See. Unlike most films on this list, Meet Me in St. Louis is a film that doesn't primarily take place during Christmas. In fact, the only extended Christmas scene doesn't happen until the end of the film. However, much like Holiday Inn, this film was responsible for another immortal Christmas song that you hear every year, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Most people don't realize that the song is not a happy Christmas song. It's actually bittersweet, as it is sung at a very sad and poignant moment in the film. The film follows a close-knit family in suburban St. Louis through the year of 1904 as they live pleasant lives, fall in love, celebrate holidays, and have good times with each other. It is the perfect picture of middle-class America. Everything is perfect in this little corner of the world. There is a pall over the year, however, as the head of the family wishes to move the entire family off to New York, where better financial opportunities await him. On the eve of their departure at Christmas, Judy Garland tries to comfort her younger sister by singing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. The message of the song being, don't let this move ruin your Christmas, don't mourn the loss of your home, but cherish the memories you have. The film is essential holiday viewing not only for its classic song, but also for its strong themes of love of your family and how there is no place like home, a message Judy Garland isn't unfamiliar with. Next up, we have another Barbara Stanwyck holiday film, Christmas in Connecticut. Directed by Peter Godfrey, released in 1945 by Warner Brothers, starring Barbara Stanwyck, Dennis Morgan, Sidney Greenstreet, Reginald Gardner, and S.C. Sicall. Screenplay by Lionel Houser, Adele Commandini, and Eileen Hamilton. Cinematography by Carl E. Guthrie.
What's this?
It's the menu for your Christmas dinner, sir. It's what the doctor ordered.
Mashed prune whip, cream turnip fluff. He expects me to eat these barbaric atrocities, but I won't.
There's something I want to...
Mrs. Lane, this must be telepathy. I know exactly what you're going to say.
Do you?
Yes, you're going to invite me to join your Christmas party. Oh. Well, Mrs. Lane, I'm going to accept with the greatest of pleasure.
Oh, that'd be just wonderful.
I'll be there Christmas Eve. I was going to spend the holidays with my family, but I'm coming to Connecticut.
Well, why not bring the family, too?
Barbara Stanwyck is Elizabeth Lane, a Martha Stewart-like writer for a housekeeping magazine that writes the most amazing recipes each month. Dennis Morgan plays Jefferson Jones, a war hero who has never had a traditional family Christmas. And Sidney Greenstreet is Alexander Yardley, the stubborn and influential publisher of Lane's magazine, whose idea it is to make sure Jones gets a traditional Christmas holiday as a guest in Lane's home in Connecticut. Only one problem. Lane is a fraud. She lives in New York City, can't even make toast, and gets all her recipes from lovable chef Uncle Felix. To make matters worse, Yardley's holiday plans have fallen through, and now he insists on spending it with Lane and her fictional family in her fictional home. The film is definitely of its time, with perhaps some outdated anti-feminist ideas, but it is certainly a charming holiday film. Or as Uncle Felix might say, everything is hunky-dunky. The Bishop's Wife, directed by Henry Koster, released in 1947 by RKO, starring Cary Grant, Loretta Young, David Niven, Monty Woolley, James Gleason, and Gladys Cooper. Screenplay by Robert E. Sherwood, Leonardo Bercovici, based on the novel by Robert Nathan. Cinematography, Greg Toland.
You know about Alan Carteret?
Oh, yes. The world lost a brilliant young composer when he died.
That was nearly 40 years ago. You couldn't have known him.
I'm much older than you think. Come, let us sit down.
What is your name?
My name is Dudley.
Now, this is a true holiday classic. A bishop is lost without direction and desperately needs to raise money for a new church. He prays for help and guidance, but he feels he receives none. However, he does receive help in the form of an angel named Dudley. Dudley is incredibly charming. After all, he is played by Cary Grant as an assistant to the bishop. Everybody falls for him, especially the bishop's wife, played by Loretta Young. Bishop Henry becomes increasingly frustrated and jealous of Dudley, and what develops is a film that expertly showcases the fine acting abilities of his three leads. It has a great holiday feel to it, and both Grant and the film are incredibly charming. Next up is our second Christmas Carol adaptation on this list, Scrooge, directed by Brian Desmond Hurst, released in 1951 by United Artists, starring Alistair Sim as Scrooge, Mervyn Johns, Michael Hodern, George Cole, Francis DeWolfe, and Brian Worth. Adapted by Noel Langley from A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. Cinematography by C.M. Pennington Richards.
Hatchet, you're late.
Sir.
What do you mean by coming in here at this time of day?
I'm very sorry, sir. I am behind my time, sir.
You are indeed. Step this way, Mr. Cratchit, please.
It's only once a year, sir. It won't be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday, sir.
I'm sure you were. Well, we won't beat about the bush, my friend.
I'm not going to stand this sort of thing any longer. Which leaves me no alternative but to raise your salary.
I haven't taken leave of my senses, Bob. I've come to them. From now on, I want to try to help you to raise that family of yours. If you'll let me.
Now, this version is perhaps the best and most faithful retelling of A Christmas Carol. And that says a lot, considering the story has been adapted 53 times on film and in television since 1901. Even more impressive is that Sim, in my opinion, is the best on-screen Ebenezer Scrooge of all time. This includes a diverse list of actors, ranging anywhere from Albert Finney in Scrooge 1970, to Patrick Stewart in the 1999 TV version, to Jim Carrey in the Disney animated film. He excels at being both cruel and menacing, as well as childishly hilarious at the end of the film when he learns the errors of his ways. It leaves no part of the story untouched and gives more backstory to Scrooge in the past segment than any other film has done to date. Next up we have White Christmas, directed by Michael Curtiz, released in 1954 by Paramount, starring Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye, Rosemary Clooney, Vera Ellen, and Dean Jagger. Written by Norman Krasna and Norman Panama. Music and lyrics by Irving Berlin, and cinematography by Loyal Griggs.
Who's that?
Santa Claus, welcome to the family, Buster.
Look at those relatives already, huh?
Listen, Wallace and Davis are flat, you know. We've got to get some loot. We've got to take the show to Chicago or Boston. I can't make it, huh?
I'm going to be very busy.
Wait a minute, I'll join you.
12 years after White Christmas became a huge holiday Christmas song, Bing Crosby and Irving Berlin teamed up again and made it the title of another Christmas time musical. This time around, Danny Kaye replaces Fred Astaire as the dance man. Kaye, while not as legendary as Fred Astaire, still did not disappoint, as all his dance numbers with Vera Ellen were a hell of a lot of fun to watch. Now, Rosemary Clooney played Crosby's love interest and will leave a great impression on you with her magnificent voice. Crosby and Kaye play two old army buddies that teamed up as a song and dance duo turned producers after World War II. They are so overworked that Phil, played by Kaye, is just getting plain sick and tired of constantly being around Bob, played by Crosby. He never misses an opportunity to play matchmaker with any pretty girl that walks into Bob's life just so that he can get some time away from his partner. Enter Betty and Judy Haynes, a pair of sisters hoping that Bob and Phil will give them a shot in one of their shows. After getting the girls out of a jam, the four entertainers head to Vermont for the holidays, where Bob and Phil realize that the ski lodge they're staying at is being run by their old army general. Seeing the sad state of affairs the lodge is in, Bob, Phil, Betty, and Judy start planning a big Christmas spectacle to hopefully attract visitors. The big closing number? You guessed it. Now we're going to skip forward a couple of decades to some more modern Christmas classics, starting with A Christmas Story, directed by Bob Clark, released in 1983 by MGM, starring Peter Billingsley, Belinda Dillon, Darren McGavin, Scott Schwartz, and Gene Shepard. Screenplay by Gene Shepard, Lee Brown, and Bob Clark, based on the novel In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash by Gene Shepard. Cinematography by Reginald H. Morris.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
Every child knows what it's like to want the perfect Christmas present. The longing, the pleading, the desperation of that one thing that you just can't live without. A Christmas Story is the simple tale of Ralphie, a little boy who wants nothing more for Christmas than a BB gun. But not just any BB gun, mind you, but an official Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range model air rifle with this thing that tells time. It seems everyone is out against him, his mother, his teacher, heck, even Santa thinks he'll shoot his eye out. But Ralphie is unrelenting in his desire for the perfect gift. This film is timeless because even though it was made in the 80s and takes place in the 40s, everyone, young and old, can relate to Ralphie. A Christmas Story perfectly captures exactly what it's like to be a kid on Christmas. Another adaptation of A Christmas Carol comes in with Scrooged, directed by Richard Donner, released in 1988 by Paramount, starring Bill Murray, Karen Allen, John Forsyth, John Glover, and Bobcat Goldthwait. Screenplay by Mitch Glazer and Michael O'Donoghue. Cinematography by Michael Chapman.
And if you give, then it can happen. Then the miracle can happen to you. It's not just the poor and the hungry. It's everybody who's got to have this miracle. And it can happen tonight for all of you. If you believe in this spirit thing, the miracle will happen, and then you'll want it to happen again tomorrow. You won't be one of these bastards who says Christmas is once a year and it's a fraud. It's not. It can happen every day. You just gotta want that feeling. And if you like it and you want it, you'll get greedy for it. You'll want it every day of your life, and it can happen to you. I believe in it now. I believe it's gonna happen to me now. I'm ready for it. It's great. It's a good feeling. It's really better than I felt in a long time.
Bill Murray is a comic genius. Now, that's not up for debate. So what happens when you take Bill Murray, make an archetype of Ebenezer Scrooge, this time as a corporate TV executive, update the story a little, and add some sweet makeup effects? One of the funniest and most original adaptations of A Christmas Carol ever. Bill Murray is Frank Cross, the president of the IBC network, which is airing a live showing of the famous Dickens story on Christmas Eve. Cross is an evil, selfish jerk who, much like Scrooge, gets visited by three ghosts in order to show him the error of his ways. Now, Murray is hilarious as Cross, and the first two ghosts are pretty hilarious as well. If you've never seen the film, you owe it to yourself. It's dark, it's funny, and it's full of Christmas spirit. Plus, that final song, Put a Little Love in Your Heart, by Annie Lennox and Al Green, perfection. Skipping to 1989, we have National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, released in 1989 by Warner Brothers, starring Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo, Randy Quaid, Juliette Lewis, and Johnny Galecki. Screenplay by John Hughes, with cinematography by Thomas E. Ackerman.
Where do you think you're going? Nobody's leaving. Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas. No, no, we're all in this together. This is a full-blown, four-alarm holiday emergency here. We're going to press on, and we're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap danced with Danny f***ing K. And when Santa squeezes his fat white ass down that chimney tonight, he's going to find the jolliest bunch of assholes this side of the nut house.
You're goofy. Don't piss me off, Art.
Now, if you don't like the National Lampoon's Vacation movies, then you have no sense of humor. All right, I am not counting Vegas Vacation. We all know that was terrible. But just like the other vacation movies, this focuses on the immortal movie dad, Clark Griswold, trying his damn hardest to give his family the best vacation in the world. Instead of Wally World or Europe, in this film, Clark takes one of the biggest holidays of all, Christmas. Pretty much everything here is funny, from Clark's attempt to create the greatest Christmas light display of all time, to the redneck white trash relatives crashing the holidays. There's something here everyone can relate to. The film manages to be heartwarming, but accomplishes this without sacrificing the laughs. Next up is Home Alone, directed by Chris Columbus, released in 1990 by 20th Century Fox, starring Macaulay Culkin, Joe Pesci, Daniel Stern, John Hurd, and Catherine O'Hara, with a screenplay by John Hughes and cinematography by Julio Macat.
Marv!
Harry?
Where the hell did you take your shoes off?
Why the hell you dressed like a chicken?
I'm up here, you morons!
Come and get me. You guys give up or you're thirsty for more?
Now, Home Alone, in and of itself, is not a great film. But it's the holidays and we kind of have to talk about it. All of the humor in the film is slapstick, bordering on masochism. However, it makes the list of essential Christmas films because, frankly, it's the most financially successful Christmas film of all time. Its cultural impact cannot be understated or ignored. It currently ranks as the 38th highest-grossing film of all time, adjusted for inflation. The film was a national phenomenon upon its release and made a star, albeit briefly, out of child actor Macaulay Culkin. Its connection to Christmas is circumstantial. Kevin McAllister's family accidentally leaves him home alone over the Christmas holiday, and he must defend his house from two bungling burglars. The humor works for most children, but the film doesn't age well if you watch it through grown-up eyes. That said, a certain amount of nostalgia plays into this entry in the list, and it remains a holiday favorite for families every year. And finally, our last Christmas Carol adaptation, The Muppet Christmas Carol, directed by Brian Henson, released in 1992 by Disney. Starring Michael Caine, Frank Oz, Dave Goles, and Steve Whitmire. Screenplay by Jerry Jewell, adapted from A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, with cinematography by John Fenner.
In life, the Marleys had been business partners with a shrewd moneylender named Ebenezer Scrooge. You will meet him as he comes around that corner.
Where?
There.
When?
Now. There he is, Mr. Ebenezer Scrooge.
Say, is it getting cold around here?
Michael Caine is Ebenezer Scrooge. Kermit the Frog is Bob Cratchit. Miss Piggy is Mrs. Cratchit. Fozzie the Bear is Fozziewig. Get it? Statler and Waldorf are Jacob and Robert Marley. And the great Gonzo is Charles Dickens. The Muppet Christmas Carol remains to this day my favorite adaptation of the Dickens classic story. Caine is absolutely vile as the iconic Scrooge, which makes his transformation at the end of the film far more effective than other interpretations. What makes this film so wonderful is the effortless blending of the story everybody knows with the signature Muppet humor. Now, don't let the fact that there are Muppets in the film fool you. It's still very effective as a heartwarming holiday film. It's also a musical. It has great songs like It Feels Like Christmas, Mr. Humbug, and When Love Is Gone. Now, When Love Is Gone, as we discussed in our last episode, was cut from the theatrical release and only included in home video versions. And that does it on our Essential Films look at the holiday classics. I hope you enjoyed this mini version of the Essential Films podcast, the sort subjects, as it were. And hopefully we'll do a couple more of these in the future in between our major episodes of major analyses of films just to get your podcast feed more refreshed with more content. Hope you enjoyed it. Please visit EssentialFilmsPodcast.com. Write to us at EssentialFilmsPodcast@gmail.com. Like The Essential Films on Facebook. Follow The Essential Films at Essential Films on Twitter. And please like, rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes. And, of course, if you celebrate, please have a Merry Christmas. Goodbye.